morning, everyone. Welcome to Psalm 106 on this Friday morning, October 16th. Can you believe we're actually more than halfway through October already? It's been a busy fall for my family. It's been great to see the change of weather. We really enjoy when the weather turns a little bit cooler and crisper. We've enjoyed the men's group gathering around the fire on Wednesday nights, and sometimes our family just enjoys a fire in the backyard, and so it's been really good. This morning we're in Psalm 106 to finish out our week this week, and it's a powerful psalm. It is a psalm of thanksgiving, it is a psalm of praise, but it is a psalm of honest confession of sin and of deserving God's judgment and a plea for mercy and a celebration of God's merciful goodness. So there will be some hard things for us to consider as we look at Psalm 106 together this morning, as we consider how it applies to our lives and our context in which we live. So let's pray and ask the Holy Spirit to help us. Heavenly Father, we love you because you first loved us. We thank you that you have created us and that you have called us to be your own. We trust you because you are unfailing in your love and your mercy. We can trust in no one else. And so we look to you and we ask that your Holy Spirit would come, soften our hearts, prepare the soil of our hearts to receive the seed of your word, and speak to us deeply and personally as only you can. We pray this in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. Amen. Psalm 106, it's a lengthy one, but a really good one. So here we go. Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Who can utter the mighty deeds of the Lord and declare all his praise? Blessed are they who observe justice, who do righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Lord, when you show favor to your people. Help me when you save them, that I may look upon the prosperity of your chosen ones, that I may rejoice in the gladness of your nation, that I may glory with your inheritance. Both we and our fathers have sinned. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedness. Our fathers, when they were in Egypt, did not consider your wondrous works. They did not remember the abundance of your steadfast love, but rebelled at the sea, at the Red Sea. Yet he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make known his mighty power. He rebuked the Red Sea, and it became dry, and he led them through the deep as through a desert. So he saved them from the hand of the foe, and redeemed them from the power of the enemy. And the waters covered their adversaries. Not one of them was left. Then they believed his words. They sang his praise. But they soon forgot his works. They did not wait for his counsel, but they had a wanton craving in the wilderness and put God to the test in the desert. He gave them what they asked, but sent a wasting disease among them. When men in the camp were jealous of Moses and Aaron, the Holy One of the Lord, the earth opened up and swallowed up Dathan and covered the company of Abiram. Fire also broke out in their company. The flame burned up the wicked. They made a calf in Horeb and worshipped a metal image. They exchanged the glory of God for the image of an ox that eats grass. They forgot God, their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt, wondrous works in the land of Ham, and awesome deeds by the Red Sea. Therefore, he would destroy them, had not Moses, his chosen one, stood in the breach before him to turn away his wrath from destroying them. Then they despised the pleasant land, having no faith in his promise. They murmured in their tents and did not obey the voice of the Lord. Therefore, he raised his hand and swore to them that he would make them fall in the wilderness and would make their offspring fall among the nations, scattering them among the lands. Then they yoked themselves to the Baal of Peor and ate sacrifices offered to the dead. They provoked the Lord to anger with their deeds, and a plague broke out among them. Then Phinehas stood up and intervened, and the plague was stayed. And that was counted to him as righteousness from generation to generation forever. They angered him at the waters of Meribah, and it went ill with Moses on their account, for they made his spirit bitter, and he spoke rashly with his lips. They did not destroy the peoples, as the Lord commanded them, but they mixed with the nations and learned to do as they did. They served their idols, which became a snare to them. They sacrificed their sons and their daughters to the demons. They poured out innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. They became unclean by their acts, and played the whore in their deeds. Then the anger of the Lord was kindled against his people, and he abhorred his heritage. He gave them into the hand of the nations, so that those who hated them ruled over them. Their enemies oppressed them, and they were brought into subjection under their power. Many times he delivered them, but they were rebellious in their purposes and were brought low through their iniquity. Nevertheless, he looked upon their distress when he heard their cry. For their sake he remembered his covenant and relented according to the abundance of his steadfast love. He caused them to be pitied by all those who held them captive. Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting, and let all the people say, Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, Psalm 106 is one of those psalms that you've probably heard pieces of, right? Over the years, if you've been a Christian for a long time, you've probably heard verses from Psalm 106. But Psalm 106 is a good reminder to us of how we should never just have a verse out of context. But if we like a verse, we should go and look up the context. Because while this is bracketed at beginning and end as a very positive psalm of thanksgiving and of praise, right? Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Let all the people say, Amen. Praise the Lord. That's what the end of the psalm says. Beginning of the Lord, praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. In fact, this psalm begins and ends with hallelujah. Whenever you see praise the Lord and L-O-R-D, all caps like that in the Bible, that's hallelujah. So it begins and ends with hallelujah. It's a positive psalm of praise. Who can utter the mighty deeds of the Lord or declare all his praise? In fact, the beginning and the end of this is a popular praise chorus from years ago that I used to sing when we used to work with youth groups and go to big gatherings. We would sing this song, and it's fun, right? It's fun. But what we see in between is a whole lot of not fun, because what we see in between is the sin of God's people. And the turn from the joyful to the serious and the humble is, remember me, O Lord. Remember me, O Lord, that I may look upon the prosperity of your chosen ones, that I may rejoice in the gladness of your nation, that I may glory with your inheritance. Remember me, O Lord. And then what we have is a confession of sin, a corporate, multi-generational confession of sin. Both we and our fathers have sinned. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedness. There is a humble, open, honest confession. And we see a pattern unfolding. We're not going to have time to go through Psalm 106 verse by verse, but we see a pattern unfolding. And that is, God's people sin and rebel against God through a lack of faith. Notice, they did not consider your work. So they're in Egypt, right? And they did not consider God's works. They did not remember the abundance of your chesed, of your steadfast love. But they rebelled by the sea. When they get to the Red Sea, we really have memory problems when it comes to God's goodness, don't we? The Israelites got to the Red Sea, and at the Red Sea, they could not remember the plagues that God had sent in Egypt and how he had distinguished them from the Egyptians and how he had struck down the Egyptians, but he had spared them. They forgot. How quickly do we forget the goodness of God and his past provisions and his love for us when we're stuck in a hard spot and we think, where is the Lord? He is seated on his throne. He is in his holy temple. He reigns supreme over the world and over our lives always, always. And so we need to remember that. We forget so quickly. And when we forget, we rebel. When we forget, we rebel. Why? Because we fall back on our own strength. We fall back on our own power. We forget God, his works, his goodness, and we rebel. And God rebukes. And God saves. And he often does so through an intercessor. We see this as we go on later. After God brings them through the Red Sea and everything's good, then they're complaining again because they're not getting the food that they want. They're not getting the delights that they want. And so there's rebellion again. And God judges again. And God breaks out among them again. And then, get to the right part here. And then they go and make a golden calf at the foot of Mount Sinai because Moses is away on the mountain for too long. And God is, at this point, God has dealt with their grumbling at the Red Sea. He's dealt with their grumbling over a lack of water. He's dealt with their grumbling over a lack of food. He's dealt with their grumbling at the kind of food that he miraculously provides them. He's dealt with their grumbling over the leadership that God has appointed. And so now he's with Moses on the mountain, giving them the good law. And they make a golden calf. They exchange the glory of God for an image of an ox that eats grass. And Romans 1 tells us that all of humanity has made this very exchange. The whole world. It's not just the Exodus Israelites at the foot of the mountain, but all of God's people and all the people of the world all over have exchanged the glory of God for the image of created things. And so God's going to wipe them out. He's going to just judge them. But Moses stood in the breach. Moses stood in the breach and he interceded. But then when they sent the spies, they didn't believe that they would ever get into the land. And so they despised the land. They despised the promises of God. And then later they give themselves over to idolatry, right? And God is angry with them and a plague breaks out. But Phinehas this time stands up and intervenes and the plague was stayed. And it was counted to him as righteousness from generation to generation. Well, then they go into the promised land and they don't destroy the peoples the way they're supposed to. And this has uttermost dire consequences. Because they go into the promised land and they disobey God. And because of their disobedience to God, they mingle. They mix. And they mix and they end up sacrificing their sons and their daughters and pouring out innocent blood, the blood of their sons and their daughters. And at this point in Psalm 106, I just have to stop and we have to make application to our lives. And here's the application that we need to see. God's people, the church, we have failed to remember the goodness of God. We have failed to treasure the glory of God. We have failed to properly proclaim the gospel of God. We have failed to be good subjects of the Son of God. We have done all the things that the Exodus generation did. We have forgotten. We have grumbled. We have been idolatrous. We have gone astray. And it has cost us dearly. why is America in the state that America is in? Why have we seen over 60 million innocent sons and daughters sacrificed on the altar of the idol of the American dream and convenience and choice and my rights? Why has the plague of abortion spread? Because God's people were too worldly, were too distracted, were too compromised to be the church that our nation needs the church to be. Not honoring God, not seeking his face, not loving him with heart, mind, soul, and strength, but being worldly, being distracted, being idolatrous, getting caught up in politics, getting caught up in marketing, getting caught up in seeker-sensitive megachurch success rather than faithfulness to the Word of God. What America needs is not the outcome of the next presidential election, whatever that may be. What America needs is for the church to be the church and to remember God and to worship God and to be salt and light, which means we have to be distinct from the world. We've got to quit being so worldly. We've got to quit chasing after the things that the world tells us to care about, whether that's numbers or money or buildings or programs or politics or cultural influence as the world defines it, and know that the gospel is its own cultural influence. Listen, Psalm 106 has stirred my heart. We must intercede for our land, and we must start being the church. What do I mean by that? Our priorities are God's gospel kingdom priorities. That's what we need to do. This abortion plague upon our nation, indeed upon the world, I believe is a charge that in part can be laid at the feet of the church. Yes, for not speaking out as much as we should, but even more for not praying as we should. Churches used to gather for prayer on a regular basis. We hardly do that anymore. For not worshiping as we should. We look at worship as an entertainment experience rather than giving glory to God. For not preaching the gospel as we should, but instead trying to be clever and trying to do marketing and trying to meet felt needs rather than meeting the real need with Jesus Christ. And so we become unclean. We become idolatrous, and God is angry, and we must repent, and we must seek his face, we must humble ourselves, and we must pray. And there's great news at the end of Psalm 106. If we will humble ourselves and pray, God will look upon our distress, God will hear our cry, God will remember his covenant, and God will relent according to the abundance of his steadfast love. Amen that it's not according to the abundance of our faithful obedience, but it's according to the abundance of his steadfast love. He will relent, and he will cause us to be pitied, and he will save us. Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the nations. That's another thing we've done in being so worldly. We've lost our focus that God's kingdom is global, is worldwide. God is gathering us in from among the nations. We're too focused on our own little problems. We need to hear the message of Psalm 106, and we need to pray it to the Lord. It has convicted my heart, and I pray that the Holy Spirit would use it to convict your heart. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us, for we have chased after the world and its idols. The world has said to jump, and we have said, how high? The world has said to care about politics, and we have become obsessed with politics. The world has said to care about success and numbers and money, and we are obsessed with success and numbers and money. Churches will do anything to get more people to come in or to stay, rather than faithfully proclaiming your word and trusting in you. You are our God, and you are our King. We are your people. We're not competing in the marketplace of ideas with clever marketing. We are the people of God. We are your holy people. Forgive us. Forgive us for not having broken hearts over the loss of millions of innocent babies. Forgive us for not praying more. Forgive us for not worshiping you in spirit and in truth. And forgive us, Father, for wandering astray from you to seek after idols. We ask, O Father, for your mercy in this and in all things. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. Amen. Well, I hope that Psalm 106 has impacted your heart, even to a small fraction of the way it's been working on me. And I pray that God would help us to hear this word. If you're looking for a place to worship in Harford County on Sunday, please come and worship with us. We are not a seeker-driven megachurch. You will not find a hip pastor. It's just me. You will not find clever marketing, but I hope that you will find worship in spirit and in truth, and I hope that you will find the gospel and the word of God being proclaimed the way that we should. Pray that that would happen. If you're coming to worship with us, pray right now. Start praying that God would be worshiped as he deserves and that his word would be proclaimed as it should be. 10 o'clock on Sunday morning out at the 4-H camp in Deer Creek, out Rock State Park. You can go to our website, foresthillpca.org, to get directions. We'd love to have you at 10 o'clock Sunday morning. May the Lord bless you and keep you until we see each other again.